That song Waymaker wasn't even a thing yet the first time I heard it, and a lot of things in my world were falling apart just violently. And I heard that song as I was preparing dinner. It was on just a random playlist, and I just froze where I was at, and it just turned my heart to just praise. Like, I could not stop praising because it was fixing my eyes, my focus, from the circumstances in this present world to the Creator of all things, the one who's sovereign and powerful over them all, and reminded me who I was and who He was, that He was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Waymaker in the midst of our darkness. I could have confidence in Him. And then that song, Yes, I Will. Yes, I Will, also became a treasured song for me, because He would point me to Him saying He's a Waymaker, and then He'd say, all you have to do is say, yes, I will. Yes, I will praise you. Yes, I will praise you in the midst of whatever's going on. It doesn't matter, because I serve a God and I live for a kingdom that is not of this world. So, Father, we come before You this morning, and we just thank You for Your word, that it's alive and active, that You come to us through song, that You come to us through brothers and sisters in Christ, that You come to us through various forms if we only seek Your face. We pray that if there are any distractions this morning that are keeping us from being focused, from being fully present in Your presence here today in community, that we would be honest in this moment with ourselves and with You, that we would name them and remove all authority from them, that You and You alone would have our full attention as You speak to us through Your word this morning. We thank You for the power of the testimony, the power of the testimony of those who have gone before, who we still meditate on their words today, for each and every one of us, for those that have been in our lives and have been a testimony to us, that we would know You. And so even in this place, refine us, purify us, use us mightily for Your kingdom. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, this morning, preparing to leave this afternoon for a mission trip with 12 students. Yay! We're going to Kansas City, and I just can't wait. Johanna, I'm so excited. Okay, Cody, you too, all of you that are going, so excited. Anyway, I could end up a little bit distracted from time to time, just my brain going all of those different places. Have you guys heard of the Backyardigans? Anybody? Backyardigans, yeah. Okay, Backyardigans, they're a bunch of cartoon characters, and they live in their backyard and create adventure in their mind, and they go on all of these amazing adventures, but there's one that stands out in my mind from when my kids were little. Now, mind you, my oldest daughter is 20, so it's been a while, but this song still sticks out in my mind. The song is Questing. And it says, questing, 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 never resting. Questing, 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 racing to the rock. Now, if any of you know me, I can't hear anything without looking for light and truth in it. So my ears perked up when I heard this song, because I'm like, yeah, we are on a quest. And yes, we are racing to the rock. What are they saying? So you see, truth is in us. Eternity is in us. Whether we know it or not, we write from that place. We create plays and movies from that place. And I would challenge you, what you're listening to, listen. Can you hear truth in it? Can you hear the pain of sin in it and suffering because there's not any light? Can you hear truth in what you're listening to or watching? The song goes on. Sorry, I can't spare you. We're jungle questers, fast and swift. When it comes to racing, we've got a gift. Holy Spirit, anybody? Holy Spirit. Just saying, we have a gift. As long as we follow our ancient map, what? Okay, just saying. We'll reach Stone Step Hill in a snap. This world is fleeting. It is but a vapor. This is truth. We are living for the kingdom of God. The current series that Drew is leading us through is Questions Jesus Asked. Questions Jesus Asked. It has been wonderful. I know it's summer. I know we all go here, there, and everywhere. So you may have missed a few. I've missed a few, but I've watched them online. You can go to YouTube. You can go to Facebook. It is worth your time. Go and watch them. And thank you, Pastor Drew. I assume you're watching. Don't you all assume he's watching? Because last week he told us how much he loves us. So surely he can't help but be with us this morning. So anyway, and he's probably going, oh my goodness, what did I do? I thought she could handle this. Okay, anyway. Jesus' questions always challenge the listener to consider their thoughts and their actions in light of God and his kingdom. Remember, Jesus always talks about his Father and his Father's rule in his kingdom. So he's always asking them questions that cause them to think about their choices, their life in light of the kingdom of God, to see their lives as an eternal quest. Questing, questing, questing. Anyway, okay. Not momentary and fleeting. So often we can get all caught up in this momentary, in this fleeting life. That's not what we live for. So I started thinking about questions and this quest for eternal life we're on. Nothing necessitates questions quite like a quest. You see, a quest is quite different than a trip. I know some of you have already been on a trip today. Some of you tripped to the church today. You just got in your car and you came here. You didn't have to think about it. You might not even remember passing certain landmarks because it's just in your mind. You got in the car and you got here. I know I can travel back and forth to Lawrence and sometimes go, did I pass Baldwin Junction? When did I pass Baldwin Junction? We don't even think about it. We're not asking questions. We don't wonder anything. We just get in the car and we go. But a quest is very different. A quest causes us to investigate, to pursue, to search, and to seek. It usually involves wrong turns, flat tires, chaos, crazy of some sort, but it is adventurous along the way. This is what Jesus is inviting us to, a quest. It's what he was inviting them to and us today. Can you, however, imagine being on a quest? You have the map, but when you read the map, you don't necessarily trust it. It says I should love my enemy, but not really sure about that, right? Or how about you have the map? It tells you exactly how to get where you're going, but no need to reference my map. I know where I'm going, right? And before you know it, you're more lost than you were to begin with. Well, today we're going to read from James chapter 1. So if you would like to turn in your Bibles, in your map, so to speak, let's go questing, see what the Lord has to say today. James chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy in the midst of your troubles. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Unstable. Do I come to the map because I actually want to trust the map? Or what about, I think I know how to go, and I think this is the way I'm supposed to go, and so I'm not really coming to the map because I trust the map and I want to do what the map wants to do. I'm actually coming to it because it's an option. Is the Word of God just an option for you? Are there circumstances in your life that are so blinding and so turbulent that it's just becoming more turbulent because you refuse to trust fully in the directions, in the one who never fails, in the one that's constant, in the one that is all-powerful, all-knowing, has wisdom for every circumstance and peace in the midst of your trials? In January, you might remember if you were here, and if you weren't here, he had us get stars, and on the star was a word. And we were supposed to take that star, that word, and if it was blank, write a word on it, or if it wasn't, to take that word and then inquire, search, wonder about that word. Take it to the Lord. Take it to Scripture. Flip in the back of your Bible and see where that word is used in Scripture and how it's used. And then pray over it. Ask God about it. Bring it back to the Lord to see what it is that He has to teach us about that word. Questing, questing, questing. We all have questions. We take our requests to God in prayer, and we wonder why this has happened. Will I get provision for this? How should I handle this situation? Some of you today are sitting right here or on the other side of screens, and you have questions. Questions that you're asking, but who are you asking? Who are you asking, and who do you want the answer from? Before Drew had us draw that word, I'd already been given a word. The word was bold. Bold. And along with it was the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:2. It says, "You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet, our God gave us the courage to declare His good news to you boldly." They knew God. God was their focus. They had not lost sight of their map. So wherever that map took them, they had the boldness to continue to speak whatever it was that they were supposed to speak. They did not let their circumstances change their trajectory. I was believing God and asking God to be bigger than my fears. Any insecurities caused by a focus on a desire for approval from anyone or anything else. In spite of any opposition I have faced, in spite of any opposition I could face, in spite of being accepted or not accepted for the message that I carry, I want to be found faithful to the lover of my soul, to be resolved, to be bold. When Drew asked us to take the word, my word was value. I began asking the Lord how value was supposed to be coupled with the word bold. I felt like somehow, some way, they were supposed to go together. How would He use this to reveal my fears and insecurities? It just so happened that at the time I had started a new study of Philippians. I'm doing one of Galatians now, sorry. Of Philippians. And the name of this study is The Surpassing Value of Knowing Christ. Did you catch that? The Surpassing Value of Knowing Christ. Christ. It's from Philippians 3:8. I was about to be oriented, put back on the right trajectory on my pursuit for boldness as I sought to keep him my focus. Asking, seeking, pursuing, God orients us towards our destination. The directions and our obedience matters. The directions we seek and our obedience to it matters. Y'all remember Adam and Eve, right? Genesis 3, Eve eats from the tree she wasn't supposed to eat from, and she offers it to Adam, and Adam is delighted to partake. But starting in verse 7, it says that at that moment when they took the fruit, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to hide what they had done. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking from the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, here's the question, where are you? Orientation. Where are you? Where are you? So I ask you today, where are you? You proclaim to love Jesus Christ, to want to follow him in all of his ways. Are you? Where are you? Are you hiding? Are you hiding? Just be honest. Are you pretending? Just be honest. He wants to know he cares. He wants to know where we are at with him. Where are you at with him? But he doesn't stop there. God goes on, and Adam replies, I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Then God says, who told you that? Where'd you get that information? You're lost? And you believe that you're lost? Why? Who told you that? Who told you that? Where are you? It matters to God. He is so good. And his love for you is unfailing. There is nothing that you can do, nothing that you can do to escape his love for you. He will not fail you. Are you fixed on the prize or distracted by something that isn't eternal? The word value attached to Philippians 3:8 and my 1 Thessalonians 2:2, be bold. Ask me that same question. Where are you at? Where are you at with that, Angela? Is the surpassing value of knowing Christ, is it bigger? Is it bigger than your fears? Is it bigger than approval, acceptance? Is it bigger than the voices in your mind that tell you who you are that are not from me? Who told you that? Waymaker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Yes, I will. Yes, I will praise you. Questing, questing, questing. When Christ has surpassing value over absolutely anything in your life, your love for him will make you bold. It will make you bold. If you don't believe me, think about how you behave when the team that you're rooting for, the referee makes a call you don't agree with. You're pretty bold. I've heard some of you in the stands before. Just saying. Or how about if somebody does something unjust to somebody you love? Your child, your spouse. You'll be bold. You're bold for what you believe in. what you love. You are. And this is what I was learning. It's what I'm still learning today. Going back to that James scripture, you can note and see again that it says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Surpassing value. Surpassing value. My quest for boldness is found in him, in who he is. Him, the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. The song we sang this morning, the King of David, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That song, the God of Jacob. The world and my own desires can shift my focus. And if I'm not diligent, if we're not diligent to pray, to search the word of God and to seek his ways, we will be tempted to forget. We will be tempted to forget that he is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, that he's worthy of our praise regardless of our circumstances, that he was, is to come. We will forget those things. We have to remember our salvation. Remembering what he did, it will humble us. It will orient us. It will cultivate gratitude and praise in us, regardless of what we're experiencing. The second question that God asked in the garden was, who told you that? For me, that the surpassing value of knowing Christ will make me bold? Oh yeah, he told me that. He told me that. And because God told me that, I need to repent. I need to turn from giving more value to those things and making them bigger than God. And I need to fix my eyes and orient myself on the truth and walk boldly in proclaiming him. Christ will give me what is necessary to be bold, because it is for him that we live, right? Amen? Yes. Yes. We can become disoriented, friends. I know I can. We can become disoriented listening to old voices, voices from the past, from failures, from people who had power and authority and spoke something over us because we gave them more power and authority than God. We can get caught up following deceptive directions from others who didn't even use the map. Y'all, if they're not using the map, they don't know where they're going either. Don't follow them. And how will you know? Because you know the map. You know the word of God, and you know whether they're leading you to truth or whether they're deceiving your pants off. Okay? Did you know that on average, each day we talk to ourselves more than anybody else? It's true. It's true. What are the voices in your own mind telling you? Are they truth? Are they repeating something else somebody else said? What are the voices, what are the words you're speaking over yourself? Imagine shifting your voice, talking to yourself, and shifting it to talking to God instead. Imagine shifting the dialogue from a dialogue with self to a dialogue with the creator, sustainer of the universe, the one who saw you and smiled. He delights over you. Would that change anything for any of you if you actually shifted your dialogue? If you shifted it to prayer, one word revealed my heart and oriented me toward a surrender and a seeking that continues to refine my desire to be bold for Christ even still today. One word taken to the Lord in prayer, one word seeking scripture, one word repeating in my mind time and time again as I'm talking to myself. Now, does that value Christ? Talking to myself. Now, am I keeping my eyes fixed on who he says I am, or did somebody else say that? Who told me that? Wait a minute. God will give us courage. Psalm 119, 104, 105 says, your commandments give me understanding. Understanding of self and understanding of God, who we were created to be. James, you would read in James as you continue chapter 1, he talks about looking at ourselves in the mirror, into the word of God. And that, then we walk away and we forget. It's like we never even saw it. But if we stay oriented, he will give us understanding. That psalm continues to go, no wonder I hate every false way of life. The word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. He will show us the way. So, y'all, one other thing about questions, by the way, is that questions create dialogue, create relationship. So it is a fact that you can only focus for so long without asking questions and like being a part of the conversation before you check out. Even the best listener. Even the best listener. I'm just looking out at y'all going, they're almost done. They're almost done. Gonna have to start asking some questions. So here are three questions to consider as you consider your own pursuit of Jesus Christ. Your own quest to know God and love him with your whole heart. Number one, from John 1:38, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? So some men came to Jesus and they were wanting to follow him, but they didn't say as much. And he goes, what are you seeking? And they asked him some questions and then he said, come follow me. He says the same to you. What are you seeking? If you're seeking me, come follow me. Come follow me. He beckons you. Come follow him. From Matthew 8:26, why are you so afraid? Maybe you can answer that right now. Why are you so afraid? The storm was out of control. The disciples were scared. God was right there with them. And he goes, why are you so afraid? We live for the kingdom of God. Keep your eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. Why are you so afraid? From Luke 11:13, how much more? How much more? Jesus was teaching the disciples about prayer, and he said, your fathers, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? No. Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Absolutely not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more counsel? How much more comfort? How much more wisdom? These are all things by the power of the Holy Spirit that are ours. If we ask, God made himself known to us in the most relatable form through Jesus Christ. He laughed with us. He cried with us. He flipped tables out of frustration. Yes. And he prayed. He prayed. He showed compassion, kindness, gentleness. He showed faithfulness on that cross. The same God that had only appeared as fire that didn't burn up the bush, as a thundering voice in the clouds, as a man who just appeared and then disappeared to Jacob. That same God. More historical documents over one man, Jesus. Jesus. And yet we still have the audacity to go, I don't know. Maybe I'll trust in that map. Maybe. We'll see. In John 17, and any of you that know me know that is my favorite chapter in the Bible. Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now hear this. This is eternal life, that they may know you. That they may know you. That they may know you. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Okay, many of the questions that Jesus asked were in response to questions someone else had asked him. Those questions clarified. Those questions connected. Y'all, we can't connect right now because you're not getting the chance to say, Angela, whoa, hold up. Tell me more about this. And how did you experience God there? And what exactly do you mean when you say you heard the Lord? What does that mean? We can't have that dialogue right now, right? But they were asking Jesus questions, and he was answering their questions and then asking them questions, inviting them back in, going, you want to know about me, but I want to know about you. I want a relationship. And that's what God was displaying through Jesus, is he's not just this God that's up here. He's relational. Ask him some questions. Listen. Listen and answer. Be still before him. We are invited to a quest. Don't you ever rest. Don't you ever rest. Don't ever stop pursuing. Don't ever stop asking questions and seeking the ancient map. God is interested in our surrender. So interested in our surrender. To inquire of him, to sit down with him, to listen to him, and to obey. And guess what? Just like Rod said earlier, and just like the songs said, we are not alone. Like, we're here, a fellowship of believers. If you've been off track, you're lost, you don't even care about the map, you're angry that the map doesn't tell you to go there because you want to go there, so you're just not going to look at the map. We're here to encourage one another, to build one another up, to say, I need encouragement. Could we pray this week? Would you walk this journey with me? I don't want to do it alone. If you're here this morning and you haven't decided to quest after God, perhaps you'd like to start asking some questions. I certainly hope so. Perhaps you'd like to start responding to some of his. He has questions for you. Redemption is waiting for your surrender. Freedom from all the confusion, all the deception, being lost, not knowing where to go. Freedom is yours. It's yours. It's yours. Victory over doubt. Victory over being lost, if you only trust the map. Father, we thank you that even when we are not faithful, even when we get distracted and deceived and caught up, you've already gone before. You've already set a way for us to be reoriented to you. And some people here today, they may need to be reoriented. They already know you. They've just come to love something or someone else more. God, touch their heart. May the power of your word and this testimony reorient them. And may we as a family of believers be faithful to encourage one another Spur one another on. Go back and pick one another up and carry one another if we must. That we will be faithful on our knees for one another to pray for diligence, for pursuit that chases hard after you. We thank you that your word is true and faithful, that your love is unfailing, that you are a shelter, that you are a strength, that you are hope, that you are our peace. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you that you would die for us. Thank you that you so longed for relationship with us that you showed us what it would be like. And you poured out your spirit to counsel us and give us strength that we would not be able to have on our own. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.